This is the meeting of the NFC on March 12th, 2024. R. Paul, will you call the roll?
And Madam Chair,
okay.
Can I just note the time?
R. Paul said he would do, he was doing the time.
I have it as 8:33 p.m. Eastern.
All right.
Okay. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Susan Young.
Present.
Okay. Is Paul DiRienzo here? No. Okay, that's eight, and that's a quorum.
All right. Is Stephanie Wells, Executive Director Stephanie Wells, on the call yet?
Yes, here.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Could I ask if there are any other people who are not members who are also present, like directors who are calling in? Hearing none. Okay. We have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. We have an agenda that needs to be approved for tonight. There are a couple of things that have come in since we set this out this morning. One is that Kim Kaufman has added a motion to the agenda, and I'm going to place that immediately after Stephanie Wells. Well, it's not just going to be Stephanie Wells, but after the agenda item that starts out Stephanie Wells. I'd also like to admit that if you look at the numbering, I have two, number five, and yet Kim Kaufman's motion is going to come in between the two number fives for tonight's meeting. All right. Are there any other additions to the agenda as was sent out? Well, actually, it was sent out last night. Are there
Chair.
Any other? Go ahead.
Madam Chair,
Susan,
please read the agenda.
Oh, I am so
sorry. Recording.
We're going to, yes, thank you, and we are going to talk about being able to see each other's work. The agenda, we've just done the call to order and the roll call. We're working on agenda approval. After that, we have two sets of minutes. Well, we actually have three sets of minutes, don't we, R. Paul?
Yes,
yes.
We
have three sets of minutes, counting our last NFC meeting, and those are February 20th, earlier than that, February 13th, and then our last meeting, which was, R. Paul, was that the 27th.
Could I suggest that item four just be approved minutes?
All right. Okay. I'll put in approved minutes for the recording. Number five, we're going to look at all the ways that different stations and the national office capture and classify revenue. That has our executive director, Stephanie Wells, at the top of that discussion. Then next, Kim Kaufman's motion that she sent out this morning, calling that, what are you calling that motion, Kim?
Motion on minutes.
Okay, motion on minutes. Then review upcoming work and deadlines. There was a timeline given out for 2025. We're going to look at that today, and I hope Stephanie can stay for that. Then last big item or discussion item, look at how things have been done, the dates and the patterns of the meetings, absences, postings, Zoom, and that's still after, yeah, so things like that. And that follows other, I would say, housework for us to do. Then we have unfinished business, new business, and we will definitely try to adjourn by 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the plan. All right. That is the agenda. Do I have any additions still?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. Regarding this thing, let's see. Where is it in here? We have, I would think that it might be prudent to set number six, dates for future meetings,
yes,
up higher, because we could get involved with other things. Now, we are set through the end of March, but, you know, it is already the middle of March, so...
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we might want to push that up higher?
Well, we're going to make a new number six, and we're going to call it How Things Are Done, and we have a few items there. And let's put set dates in the pattern for future meetings after the approval of the three sets of minutes that we have been given. All right? Will that do, Arpal?
Well, ask everybody. That sounds okay to me. See what everybody else thinks.
All right. Well, I'm just wanting to make sure I was understanding your suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Given that is the only suggestion.
There's another suggestion. 10:30 Eastern, is it the chair's intention to, from now on, have the agendas always say 10:30 Eastern? Because that's a little late. That 10:30 is different from 10:15, I got to tell you.
Well, I'd be happy to try for 10:15, but as I looked at this agenda, I didn't have my heart in my expectation that we could do that. But let's say a time certain, 10:30, and we'll try for 10:15.
Okay.
Okay. So
Could I also? Okay, I'm looking at. I'm patching this together. Motion from Kim Kaufman. Is there a time limit on that?
I believe to make that time, we'd only be able to give it 10 minutes.
Okay, so 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, I wrote that in.
Okay,
that's it from me. Thank you.
Kim, do you have objections to that estimation?
This is Serene.
No, I don't care.
This is Serene. Can you hear me?
Why are you here, Serene?
Because I'm a director and I can be.
I'm
but
sorry.
Why is the call not streaming? Excuse me.
Because
why is
we
the call
do not,
not
have
streaming?
Anyone to stream the call. It's being recorded, but it's not being streamed because we
Thank
have
you.
No one to do that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Let's see. Got it. All right. I had asked Kim if 10 minutes was acceptable to her. Not hearing any disagreement.
No, I already said yes.
I'm
guess someone interrupted me.
You.
Yeah.
That's why
okay.
I kept. All right. So, all said, do we have an agenda that we will post to KPFTX after the meeting? Do we have an agenda that we can agree on for this meeting? Do I hear any objections? Not hearing any objections, we have an agenda. There are three sets of minutes R. Paul sent one, was it yesterday, R. Paul? And the other two were sent before the previous meeting.
Yes.
Shall we take them in order of date and have a yay, nay, or whatever, anything else people, or correction? So on February 13th, that was our convening meeting. Are there any objections?
No, that wasn't it. The February 13th was from the folks who previously populated this committee.
You are right. You are right. Okay. Now, do all the new folks abstain from that evaluation of the meetings, R. Paul?
They do as they please. If people want to abstain because they weren't there and have experience with what happened, they may do so.
Right.
Or they may vote or whatever.
Okay. But I'm going to put it this way. Are there any objections or additions to the meetings, the minutes of February 13th?
Yeah, I'm going to vote no. For the reasons I stated at previous meetings.
Would you state them again for this recording?
Because I think, my motion will address it. My motion will address.
Right. You believe there was a misquote. Okay.
No, that is not it, Darlene. I'll get back to you. Paul is calling, so he may not have his login. Okay, can I deal with him and get back to y'all?
Yes, thank you. All right. I should not have said my opinion of what Kim had objected to. So we'll leave that to her to come back. And then the next set of minutes.
Madam Chair?
Madam
Chair, this is Susan.
Yes.
I would like to be listed as abstained, as I was not at that meeting.
We're going to vote, so everybody gets to abstain or vote or whatever.
Okay, so I thought she had already moved through that. No, not yet.
Nope.
Sorry.
It's not that we've moved through it. Kim is off the line right now, so we're seeing if we can leapfrog over. The next set of minutes are February 20th.
Madam Chair, we have this motion on the floor, so we've got to dispose of the motion.
On the floor?
The motion on the floor is to approve the February 13th minutes.
So each one is going to take a separate motion?
No, I could put it up all three at once. I would, had I the chance, I would have said I moved to approve the minutes of the February 13th, 20th, and 27th minutes of the NFC meetings.
Mm-hmm.
However, you made the motion that it be the February 13th. We can do that.
No, since Kim has an issue or one has a statement or has something, putting words in her mouth, we will not do right now the 13th. We're holding for Kim to come back on that. Okay. Was anybody trying to speak there? All right.
Hey, guys. I just got in. Just say it. I'm here.
And this is Paul DiRienzo.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay, R. Paul. So, Kim, does that mean you're back?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. All right. The minutes of 2:13. Are there any objections to passing them, to accepting them right now, or do we have to go to a vote?
Well, I want to say no. So I'm going to say no on all these minutes for the same reasons I've said no for the last bunch of meetings, and my motion will address that.
All right. Let us do take a roll call on this, our Paul, because we have a no.
Yes.
And we have, I know we're going to have people who need to abstain, so let's get it on the record. Could you call the roll on
okay.
the minutes of the 13th?
The motion is to approve the minutes of the February 13th, 2024 NFC meeting. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo.
Yes.
Lyndon Foley.
Abstain.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Christina Huggins.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman?
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Darlene Pagano?
Abstain.
Myla Reason? Minerva Sanders?
I'm going to abstain.
Susan Young?
Abstain.
Okay, 3-4, 1 against, 5 abstentions.
All right, that means they pass, at, they are accepted. All right, the minutes of February 20th, the convening meeting, I think I'm right that time. Are there any objections to the meeting, the minutes of February 20th?
Same objection.
Besides Kim's one objection, are there any objections to this these minutes? Hearing no further.
Whoa. She objected, yes. Didn't she?
Yes, but if there's one objection, well,
we
can accept the minutes because there's no other objection.
No, we need to, if there. If we need to vote, we need to vote. It's either pass without objection or we have a vote. The vote can go pretty fast.
Well, let's go pretty fast then, our Paul.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
The motion is to approve the minutes of the February 20th NFC meeting. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo.
Yes.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Christina Huggins.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman.
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Myla Reason. Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
Susan Young.
Abstain.
7-4, 1 against, 1 abstention.
And Myla is not here. Okay, 9. Thank you. And then finally, the minutes that R. Paul sent out last night for the, is that the February 27th meeting again?
February 27th, yes.
Yes. All right. The minutes of the last meeting, February 27th, do we have any objection?
Yes.
Madam Chair, this is Susan.
Go ahead,
I have a correction. It was, and I sent it to everybody. Myla Reason was the person who moved approval of the KPFA budget. She did that before Christina did.
Okay. Yes, this took a while to figure out again. What happened there was she said just, you know, I moved to that we approved the KPFA draft budget, and then she was gone. And I tried to get a clarification. There was none because she was gone. And then Christina Huggins made the motion, and nobody objected to, you know, the wording being, and send it to the PNB, which was something missing from the previous one. So what I figured to do was make it just Christina Huggins' motion because Myla Reason was not here and could not finalize the motion she was saying. I mean, she really just got out barely saying the words and she was gone.
No, she lost her connection to Maestro or whatever. So I understand. Thank you for the explanation. I will withdraw that request for amendment. I am abstaining for, I think, the same reason that Kim is opposing. So go ahead and take the vote.
Madam Chair, are we voting?
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, the motion is to approve the February 27th NFC meeting minutes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Kamau Harris?
Yes.
Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Kim Kaufman?
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Myla Reason? Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Susan Young?
Abstain.
7-4, one against, one abstention.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, folks, I believe we said that we would go to what I call set the dates and the pattern for future meetings before we get to Stephanie. I am doing this somewhat just for going through the motions. My understanding, our Paul and other returning members, you can help me out here, is that the NFC meets on the first and third Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That has been, least for 2023, that has been their pattern. Is that true?
No, it's the second and fourth Tuesdays. Yeah, second and fourth.
That's right. Today's the second Tuesday. All right. Second and fourth Tuesdays, 8:30 p.m. Is that still a comfortable pattern of meetings of the NFC for everyone? And if it isn't, please let us know why. Or not. You don't have to explain yourself. Just, you know, say what why. That it won't work. Do we have, basically I'm asking if anyone has any objection to continuing the pattern and time of the NFC for 2024. And these are for regular meetings.
Actually, what we need to do is to, one way or another, make it go into next March, because the NFC, you know, always goes into the next year, always. So I would say, like, for the next, you know, through March of 2025 or something like that, so we know it's going into next year's.
All right.
Say,
well,
12 months,
say
whatever.
Not just 2024, but say to March 2025, with the understanding that we may have been gracefully replaced by the new elected members of the NFC in what, January. So we can book those meetings through March of 2025. That doesn't mean we think we're necessarily going to be the ones attending those later meetings. Is there any objection to working it out the way our Paul described it there, and I held up as the motion. There
not
are,
really, but
so the motion is to meet set meetings on the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month through March 2025 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Right.
Right. That's the motion. I did hear someone try to speak up, and they got talked over.
That's all right. Just a question. Always summer. I mean, is Paul DiRienzo?
Paul.
I just came up. You know, summer. I mean, you know, August is pretty dead month. Not much going on. I mean, Are we going to meet in August as well, those 2 days?
These are the dates that we're going to book on KPFTX. We have the option of both canceling meetings and adding meetings, but this will be our understood pattern of having our set up.
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I know everyone in New York likes to go away in August, Paul, but historically, I'm joking here, but, you know, not for many years, but back in the day, when we used to approve budgets before the fiscal year, August and September were very busy months for the MFC. Approving those budgets and getting them to the PMV before August 1. And in fact, back in the day, we added meetings during, you know, September in order to get that done. So I don't know if we'll get there this year, but yeah, August is not dead on the MFC. If we get there.
That's okay. I mean, I don't go anywhere in August, but a lot of people do, and I'm not sure what the habits are in California or Texas. Lord, gets darn hard in August, as I remember. But then you have more air conditioning. Just so there is a possibility, because what are we going to work ourselves to death here? I mean, you have to have a little fun, have a life, you know, or else you'll go crazy. I don't want to have us all fighting and like crazy and then, have to do this week after week. We should take some time off once in a while and maybe even do something together, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it takes.
Orders of the day.
The other thing, Paul, is that we're going to try very, very hard to have our meetings organized, civil, and ending in under 2 hours. And that might be something that makes us feel like we're not working our life away. I hope. That's the hope. Someone else spoke up. May I ask who that is?
I spoke up and I asked for orders of the day. First, you keep on track rather than meandering around. Susan.
Okay. All right. So we're calling a vote that we understand our schedule for our regular meetings to be the second and fourth Tuesdays of each month. We will book that through March of 2025. We will meet at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Is there any objection to that understanding? Hearing no objection, we have confirmed that that will be the meeting schedule for the NFC. All right. Here's where we're going to have a little bit of trouble as I see it. Not trouble, difficulty. Because we're on Maestro, we can't look at each other's materials that we've brought to this meeting. And I want to make sure everyone has seen that the executive director has given us the chart of accounts for revenue for the national office. So I am going to bring Stephanie in first. And
this is Kim.
Go ahead.
Request for information. I haven't received it.
I've received it twice.
Well, I didn't get it. Can somebody send it to me, please?
I'm not saying that you have it, Kim. I'm just saying it was sent at 3:25 p.m. today. Pacifica Foundation chart of accounts from the Pacifica Executive Director.
Okay, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. If I could.
Yeah, Darlene, that might have just that to you because I don't have the ability to email committees.
I beg your pardon.
Yes.
So it only
I can't contact any LSBs or any committees.
I did not know that. Okay, everybody. I did not know that. So let me go and get that and forward it, the whole darn thing,
to the group.
Yes, yes, I'm trying to get there, Kim. Yes. Okay, National Finance. NFC, actually, not national. Okay. So for everyone, I have just sent Ben with Stephanie's email and attachment, one attachment. And is it showing up yet for anyone?
No, nothing yet.
Would you also send me a copy? This is Serena.
Okay.
Thanks.
Let's see. I have...
I had three people speaking, I think, at that time. Who first said nothing yet?
Myself. I'm looking, and I got an email, but with nothing linked to it. No...
When you open it up, I believe it's going to have three little dots at the bottom. Oh, there is no.
No, it didn't come through.
The chart.
Yeah, no attachment.
Through.
Yeah.
All
try
right.
Again.
I'm downloading to my own files.
If the executive director would like to send it to me, I can flip it in real fast.
Yeah, or me, Stephanie, either one. Yeah.
I'll go in.
Send it to our Paul.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate this because I would be taking too long. And Doreen, what is your email address?
I emailed you earlier today. I'd rather not announce it on the stream.
Well,
I'll email you again. I know. You
I'll
just sent me an email an hour ago.
I'll send it to you, Doreen. Don't worry about it.
I got one attachment. That's it? One attachment.
One attachment.
All right,
did
good.
It come through?
Got it. Yep.
Oh, okay. Something came through that time. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Is anyone still waiting for that attachment? Okay. So we all can
I'm sorry, darling. This Minerva, I don't have it yet. Sorry.
This is Lyndon. I don't have it either.
Okay. R. Paul, you sent it and I sent it both. Is that correct?
Not yet. I am just now getting it from the executive director.
Right.
I am forwarding it to the NFC at this very moment, and it is away.
Okay. And I had sent it just a minute or two ago.
I got that too. Same thing, right?
Okay. So New York to New York is working well. All right.
I got it, yeah.
I sent it to you directly, Minerva. This is Stephanie.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie.
I just want to point out that we should be looking at Stephanie's version. The notes are not on Darlene's, so open Stephanie's.
I don't know what you mean. I'm looking at mine right now.
Oh. So am I. And
like notes are on the 2016, but you're right, there are no notes on the 2020, well, the current one. Just let's say current one.
I have notes,
Stephanie,
on both.
Okay, well, I don't, so you can speak up when questions might be asked. Let me give you the setup for this, which is I was speaking with Stephanie about how we're going to do budgets this year and at the NFC. And what we wound up talking about, it was a productive but not a very short conversation, is that in the both the looking at people, comparing each station's budget upcoming, as well as when this committee starts talking again about the central services formula, we need to be calling each bit of money the same station to station to station. And if there need to be exceptions, that needs to be really well known. And so I've asked Stephanie to come in and talk about how to classify revenue and why. So can I just turn it over to you, Stephanie? And I'm sorry for all of you who are accountants already, and a chart of accounts is, you know, your bread and butter. Please humor all the rest of us along during this process. Thank you.
Thanks. We really just want to try to simplify how revenue and expenses are classified before they get sent to the national office, because everything is kind of all over the place. And so it really is, you know, there's quite a few general ledger numbers, including if you, there's two tabs. One is the chart of accounts from 2016. That is just, you know, over 453 chart of accounts, and that's just too much. And what happens is that with all of the stations kind of determining how they want to classify things when it comes to us and the national office, and we're putting stuff in, a lot of it just doesn't match. So it's very difficult for us to try to, you know, keep, for example, like sustainers. We'd love to be able to keep track of how many sustainers we have, and that's not even a line item. There's listener support, but then everything is listener support. Then there's donations. Then there's miscellaneous income. There's website income. There's just too much stuff, too much. We're trying to simplify it so it's much easier to track across the board. And it would be, you know, rather than listener support, just basic individual donations or individual donors. We can still call it listener support if we'd like. We could even call it membership if we'd like. Just something that is simple. But I have just basically individual donors. And then a sustainer line, so we can keep track of those pledges. And we can project out when someone is, you know, pledging something for an entire year. We can project out what that income is every month. And we can send out reminders as well as thank yous for people when they make their pledge payment. We can also then just have corporate match, which I figured we would keep. Underwriting and sponsorships as a line. Events, just flat across the board events, not community events. And then another line for craft fairs. And it's just those are events. And that could be from, that can include the craft fair, that includes the community events, that includes house parties, whatever that may be. It's just that is an event. Then we can have a grant line item, and a grant is a grant. We can't just hide income within the grant line. A grant needs to be a grant with an S, not a, that's not a, a donor advised fund. That is an individual donor. But a grant is from a foundation, possibly even a community, possibly a family foundation, depends upon that would depend upon the restriction of that grant or a non-restriction of the grant or the application or the reporting that would have to take place based upon that grant. We then would have a line for restricted revenue. And that restricted revenue could be a grant. That restricted revenue could be a gift from a donor where it truly is restricted. And a true restricted grant from a donor is if that money is going to a particular project or a particular purpose. I know we had an individual donor who made a substantial restricted grant to one of our stations because they needed some work on a tower. And so when that gift was given, it was restricted for that tower use. But, you know, restricted doesn't mean, oh, this can only go to station XYZ. That's not a restricted grant. That is just revenue. And then we have the car donations. So there are some, and those are just in the very simple, basic revenue. As we move forward with our budgets, when we look at the budgets on a regular basis and project out what we have, then we can simplify and say, okay, let's drop it down where we have individual donors. Who were the donors with that group? Who are the sustainers? What kind of corporate match do we have? Are we soft crediting that gift to the donor that, you know, moved forward with that corporate match? What is our underwriting? What does this event, you know, involve? And that event line item would then also, of course, have event expenses that would go to it down on the bottom, and that would be reflected in our notes or our justification column with the budget. Some of the line items, of course, we would keep, but they wouldn't be specific to every station. Central service, for example, that would obviously still be a line item, but that's really just for the national office and the archives only. Donations that are going toward a capital campaign, that of course would only be specific to the capital campaign that is happening. And for example, we budgeted some moving expenses and capital campaign expenses with WPFW recently, but I actually added another column. It's still going into their budget for fiscal year 24, but we do have that listed as a separate budget, it's a separate column. So as we look at it down the road, you know, for one thing, we're not charging central services against any income that comes in for that capital campaign, but we can then kind of keep track of that on a separate space. Income from affiliates, of course, we would use only for the affiliates. And then the SCA income that also would just be for the national office. So, you know, a lot of these lines and the general ledger lines, you know, serve their purpose for, you know, maybe some other nonprofits. But I think that this general chart of accounts was created, and I don't know if it was really sorted through to pull out the things that we really don't need. But I'm open. This is why we kind of wanted to know who constitutes what is what, because we have listener support, but then we have donations. And then we have miscellaneous income. So there's a lot of questions as to how it's considered, you know, how the different stations are putting and coding certain things. So I just want to simplify it. That's all. So I don't know, Darlene, if you wanted. Mm-hmm.
Point of information, request for information, Madam Chair. This is off topic, but I am getting bombarded with people saying, where's the NFC stream? No quorum. Would it be okay if I just posted to the KPFTX just saying this meeting is not being streamed due to technical problems. It is being recorded, and the recording will be posted. Is it Does anybody object to my putting that up in KPFTX?
I do not object, Arpal. I think you should do that.
Thank you very much, Arpal. I've been sending notes, but that would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. If there's no objection, I'm going to do that right now. Hearing none. Thank you. Go on. Sorry to interrupt.
When you're taking a stack, I'd like to be on it.
Come out of the stack as well.
Yeah, people can go ahead and, I mean, I want this to be able to be a discussion. So I don't know, Darlene, how you want to deal with who's, obviously, because I can't see who's on a staff. So I would also like at some point, this is kind of off topic, is that maybe the possibility that we move these phone calls to Zoom so we can share screens, which is often a lot easier when you're working with a budget.
This is Christina. I agree with that totally.
Our Paul for stack.
Darlene appears to be missing.
No.
Go ahead, Kim.
Were you asking to be on the stack or were you saying something else? Okay, I'm going to get my question out eventually. And then we have Kamau, Kim, and our Paul. That is the stack at the moment.
And Christina for stack two, please.
All right.
Actually, Kim was first.
Well, I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm also going to give people who haven't had a chance, who haven't visited me yet, get a bump up. So there you know how I'm going to keep the stack. So my question on to move on, I had one for Stephanie, but I'll put my name on the stack for a little later. For the second question, so I don't get what you all don't get. Are any of the treasurers actually part of the bookkeeping in your station, or are you all part of the LSB process of your finance committee of the LSB? Can I call out each station and have the treasurer answer, please? East Coast, WBAI.
I am not part of the bookkeeping. In fact, WBAI's, a lot of that stuff is done by the national office because we do not have a business manager.
All right. That's it. Okay.
And the local finance committee doesn't do quite this, you know, we go over things the general manager brings us. We talk about the various stuff that has gone on through governance and from management, and that's what we do. We do not, and that's it. I have something to say later. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Arpal. WPFW, Kamau, same question.
No, we are not involved. No, we're not involved in coding transactions. Oversight only.
All right. T, KPFT.
That would be the same. We don't do any bookkeeping, or the treasurer does not, nor does the finance committee.
All right. K.
No, definitely not. I mean, we do oversight, and I don't think our business insurance would be happy with a bunch of just rando people getting into Great Plains and doing stuff? No, we do oversight. We review what management does.
All right. And Christina, A.
No, I'm not involved in bookkeeping. I have a good relationship. We meet a lot. I need a lot to get explanations from Maria, but that in no way encompasses actual bookkeeping.
All right. So none of us will be actually involved in setting a simplified chart of accounts for revenue up ourselves. Okay. Wanted to know. On the stack, Kamau.
Okay. I thought Kim got in there before me, but I'll... Anyway.
Go ahead. Come out. Come
question.
Out. You probably have better questions than
okay.
me, so go ahead.
I highly doubt that. Stephanie, thanks for, I guess, Darlene as well, thanks for bringing this to the committee. I do believe we should simplify the chart of accounts. I think it's very important to make it less likely to kind of miscode things. So if you have fewer choices, makes it a little easier to choose one. But in terms of establishing this and then educating those that will be coding around it, what is your vision for doing that? I can see where the committee could get used to it pretty quickly in our review of budgets and things like that, but how do we plan to educate those that are actually doing the work?
We would be meeting with them and letting them know this is where things need to be coded, because what happens now is that when we do get information, when we do get the revenue from the stations, Markeisha does call people and ask, what is this or what is that? Not always do we get answers, sometimes people will say, oh, well, we can't break down any of the sustainers because there's no line item for sustainers. So we just kind of plump everything, you know, plop everything into listener support. So if we tell them this is what they are, we also have an explanation of what does an individual donor mean? What does a sustainer mean? What does a corporate match mean? Then they would have to code it into that.
Chair, one quick
Susan,
follow-up. So that
Susan Young for the stack at the end. Sorry, come out.
No worries. Just really quick. So then that would take place station by station, or would you kind of do a, I guess since we're talking about Zoom, kind of a Zoom presentation or maybe a webinar, PowerPoint, something like that? Like, I don't know. I'm just, the reason why I'm asking this is because there's been a lot of great ideas coming out of our finance committee, and it's very hard to implement them at the, at the management level. And I just was kind of wondering how your approach at the national office would be to kind of implement something like this.
Well, when we've been implementing something different, for example, the consolidated banking, we announced it to everybody in a group setting, which is when I have my monthly GM meetings. And then Markeisha and I met with everybody individually to explain what the process was. And then if people needed additional training, we met with them individually to do training. So the stations know that we want to simplify this. A lot of the general managers and business managers are accepting of something that is simplified with a better explanation of what's what. So people are looking forward to it and expecting it. And then we would make sure that when the chart of accounts with the definition is there, that everybody, the general managers, the business managers get that. They sign off that they've received it. And if they have any questions, then we'll talk about it. Because there will be questions,
awesome.
You know, what is this a grant? Is this really a grant? You know, those kind of things. If we were getting, if we were getting, hundreds of grants a day, or we really had a definition of what's a major donor and we had people that were giving 5K or 10K above, you know, then it would be a little trickier, but we can easily go through and, talk through, well, this is actually a grant, well, let's go ahead and move this person into a sustainer, or if they're given a gift and now they've moved into the pledge world, let's move them there. We would be able to take a closer look, and I have requested too of people that they need to provide patients with their budget.
I'm losing you.
Okay. Stephanie, you crackled up there for a second at the very end.
Yeah.
Oh, that I've requested that people provide notes and justifications with their budgets, not just sending over a clump of a deposit and saying this is individual donor support. Okay, give me backup.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Kim Kaufman.
Okay, first of all, I personally am going to need more time to look at this and think about it and look at the consolidated and think about it. Having said that, I do have some preliminary thoughts. Let me just move from left to right. First of all, the Crafts Fair income is sponsorship. That needs to be in sponsorship because it is sponsored. KPFA promotes it on air, and the Crafts Fair gives KPFA some amount or percentage in exchange. So that's straight up sponsorship. I don't know what they say on the air, but that needs to be run by John L. Mala to make sure it's compliant. Having said that, you know, on your questions, well, I'll go back to the questions. Restricted revenue would not go on the operating budget, in my opinion. It would need a separate way to put it. It wouldn't go on this operating budget because it's not money we can use. The operating budget is general funds. I'm not sure about this individual donors and how you differentiate between fund drive revenue and everything else. I'm not sure how you keep account of the sustainers, but what I want to think about or ask and find out about is how does Allegiance track this stuff? Because perhaps if we're using Allegiance in a different way, we can get more granular information and basically, fine, dump everything in individual donors or listener support, whatever you want to call it, and get a more granular report. I mean, we don't track website income because that often gets double booked. If it comes in through the website during a fund drive, well, does it get counted as fund drive money or website money? But I know Allegiance tracks that sort of in what I've seen, and it would be a good number to have. So I'm just saying, Stephanie, I don't even know if this is possible or interesting to anybody, but that may be a solution for getting more granular information. And I don't know if there's an answer to that yet.
There is. I 100% agree. That's with the lack of people using Allegiance correctly, because KPFT in Houston, they use Allegiance correctly. When they have a campaign, they make it as an individual campaign. You know, any sort of fund drive comes in the donor software world.
I'm totally losing you. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you're kind of popping in and out, Stephanie.
Yeah, and I hear like you're driving somewhere or something. And also I hear echoing of another voice. Yeah. My own voice is echoing.
I'm not driving, but I'm
not speaking.
It's like that or walking through it.
I'll try to move to a different part of my house, maybe.
You're okay now.
Okay. Allegiance can track each individual campaign that is coming in, and KPFT in Houston uses Allegiance correctly. So, for example, when they have a fund drive, that becomes a campaign. And then as money comes in, it's credited toward that campaign. The WBAI Buddies should be a campaign under sustainers. Then we can keep track, for example, of the money that's coming in for that. And it would be very easy at that point to then be able to run a more detailed report as to this is the amount of money that came in the spring fund drive, or this is the amount of money that came in through this or through that. As far as tracking with website, it isn't necessary that, I mean, I don't think that we need to know what money came in through the website, because that's still an individual donor, but it is nice to know. I mean, I don't know if that's a budget item, because some donors may just go, they may be listening on the radio, and then rather than calling in and making a pledge, or they're directed to the website, we just need to know the traffic of who's going to the website and giving. And that's more of an IT issue, so we can see how many people are actually tracking it when they go there. But a lot of it is just, you know, you can get very detailed reports with Allegiance if people were using it. And that's, again, that we hope that when we get the proceeds from the sale of the LA building, that we're paying down Allegiance, and then we can start cleaning up the data that we have and getting somebody in to monitor how we're using the donor software to its fullest. Because that's why so much of this, too, is a mess. You know, because Allegiance will actually also send out reminders to people that have pledges. They'll create the tax letters. You know, I know at KPFT, if you're sending donating $100 and you're getting the premium of the coffee cup, it will automatically say, you know, it'll automatically deduct the $10 of the cost of the coffee cup, and the tax letter is sent out that says, you know, thank you for your donation of $100. $90 of that is tax deductible because they received a good or a service, which was that coffee cup. So we had conversations today about that actually in the GM meeting, and some of the stations aren't even making that deduction. So, or they're offering a premium that is valued at less than the donation. Well, if that's the case, the donor's not even getting, at that point, a tax write-off. So all of this is because people aren't using Allegiance properly, or people for many years now have been kind of handling this on their own rather than having a central, the national office, monitoring what it is that's happening.
Madam Chair, this is Susan.
If I might have a follow-up.
Go ahead. I want to add to the stack, apparently. Kim is still there?
I'm here. We're waiting for Darlene. I'd like a follow-up. Does anybody?
Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. Hold on 1 second. Kim, hold on. Susan, what are you trying to say? And there is so much echo. Go ahead, Susan.
So, Kim, I'd like to speak in advance of you because I'm trying to frame this. So, yes, on the stack, my questions are, there appears to be a problem. How do you define the problem? What is the role of the NFC? What are you trying to get from us? And what are you trying to get from the PNB? It seems to me that this is about not everybody using Allegiance, and that Allegiance would be able to be a more powerful tool and provide better consistency from station to station. Is that the problem you're identifying?
That's one, yes. And what I'm hoping from the National Finance Committee is that we can simplify the budgeting process when budgets are presented to the NFC and when budgets are presented to the PNB. The NFC will know, based upon the work of their local finance committees, what constitutes individual donors, how many do we have, how much money is coming in, how many sustainers do we have, what are their underwriting sponsorships. So the local finance committees will be working on these on a more granular level, but when they come to the National Finance Committee, not only will the treasurers be able to, you know, explain with my help and with the, you know, business manager, general manager's help, what these line items mean, but I just would like a more simplified process in budgeting coming from the National Finance Committee.
And I apologize, but Kim, what I'm asking, do you need a motion from the NFC? Do you need a motion from the PNB?
I don't think so. I mean, it's up to, I don't think so. I mean, that's up to you guys to determine what motions need to be made or not.
How do we implement your request? How do we implement your request?
Susan, we haven't decided what the request even is yet, okay? I think this is jumping ahead a bit, my opinion.
Thank you. My apologies.
This is the chair, and what I want to say about bringing Stephanie into this meeting for the NFC is that when we look at central services, all of the stations are speaking the same language about their revenue, so because we have to look at all of the revenue. So that was the other thing for Stephanie's being here, the other reason. Kim, you said you had a follow-up. I'm going back to the stack.
Thank you.
Kim.
Okay. Well, just to touch on this before I go ahead, one issue you mentioned in passing, Stephanie, but which I think is very critical, is people need to – we need to have a policy on pricing premiums. I'm not going to get into that anymore, but that's way off. We're losing money in some instances. I won't go into details. One of the issues basically related to central services and the way KPFA does it, and other stations used to do it more, but not so much, and this has to do also, I know you want to simplify it, Stephanie, but Maria and Markeisha are still using the old templates, which has a lot of back-end stuff which goes into listener support, individual donors, whatever you want to call it, that tracks out how that money comes in. There are percentages that come in each month, and it takes and it tracks fulfillment. I don't need to go into that right now. But, for example, KPFA, they're very strict about money that comes in during fundraising.
Okay. I think this is going off what we can accomplish.
No, it is not, Darlene. Please let me finish.
But you never get to the end, Kim.
Darlene, I will get to the end. Give me a second.
All right. Go ahead.
KPFA separates out revenue that comes in during fund drive and revenue that comes out not during fund drive. And that is an issue for them about central services, number one. Number two, for example, why I brought up the templates and the back end stuff, KPFA does letter mailings, and they get revenue from that. And that gets tracked in a different way. So I know you want to simplify it, but the way this revenue comes in is to me, there are more moving parts than everybody understands here.
Well, any sort of letter writing campaign would be classified as an individual campaign, which would be tracked in the donor database. And KPFA does do that. So when there is a letter writing campaign, it's given a code.
The issue is how it gets tracked, what line item it goes into as in revenue and its commensurate expenses. We don't have to answer the question. And, I'm just saying there are several moving parts. We also offer, maybe not so much like partial payments of premiums when we had more expensive premiums. And that would have to get tracked a different way. So they're just a few more moving parts than just dumping it in one line item. I'm just saying.
And now I am going to speak it up again because Stephanie has said that there are steps, there are go-rounds more, including with the NFC, so we don't have to go through all of this at this introductory level of talking about revenue. It will continue. So I would like to give other people on the stack a chance, but knowing that there's going to be more, and it's going to be coming, Stephanie will be working with different groups, including the PMB. Can I move on, Kim?
Absolutely.
Okay, Christina, you are next.
First of all, I think it's really great to try to simplify and to make sure that all of the stations are doing their budget in a consistent manner, because it makes it very difficult for Markeisha, I'm sure, in the national office to try to figure out exactly what's going where. I would say I believe that the restricted accounts should be put in a separate category because they are money that we're not supposed to be touching anyway, that's set aside for specific purposes. So that was one thing I would say. I think it's a really good idea to try to simplify and put things together, and I think it's a good starting discussion right now. So the main thing I wanted to talk about was the restricted grants and the fact that we need to be consistent, as Stephanie says. It will be better for the whole foundation to be able to be more streamlined and more understandable. So that would be my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. R. Paul, you are next.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking at this spreadsheet, and the one of them is about 84 lines long, and the other one's over 450 lines long. And I gather the executive director really wants to favor going from the 450 to the 84. The thing is, we've done this a number of times. Chart of accounts has been a big issue on the NFC over years and years. I know that the NETA was working on a new one, and they were working on it. I think they never got it done before we parted ways. But there was one before that that we had done, and it was the official one. It was there, and the issue is it wasn't followed. Since we had others in the past, different stations were using different charts of accounts based on when they thought, you know, which one they wanted to use. There are a minimum of three, maybe four charts of accounts that have been around in Pacifica since the current governance form has taken place, since 2004. And so one of the issues here is Pacifica management enforcing these charts of accounts, because I think not everybody quite goes with it. And putting in a new one, in the past when a new one has come in, it hasn't, not everybody's gone with it. Okay, so I think that will be an issue, and I would ask the executive director how that's going to work out. Are you going to be able to do this? Also, I am not, I like to see things broken out, and lumping into listener support has caused so much trouble in the past, because sometimes you look at old income statements and things like that, and the entire revenue part is a whole bunch of lines. Almost all of them are blank, but you have listener support and everything is in there. Then you got a couple of other things that do show some activity, And this doesn't help us to figure out what we're doing, where what money is coming in from what thing we're doing, stuff like that. So I am hoping that I don't know. I'm agnostic on the bigger or the smaller chart of accounts, but whatever we do, I would hope it doesn't emphasize lumping into listener support, and I would hope that everybody would get the memo that you got to do this. There's no we're different stuff, okay? So that's part of my thing here. Is the executive director going to make it so if there is a change in the chart of accounts, everybody has to do it, no exceptions? That's it.
The chart of accounts that has the 85 plus something is what's being used now. The second sheet that has the 400 and something is the chart of accounts that was created in 2016. I could find nothing in any records or old emails of any new chart of accounts that had been created since 2016. And I sorted through emails from Anita Sims, Julia Kennard. There was nothing I could find. The only thing, as I said, was this 2016. So the 85 seems to have been pared down from the one that was the 400 and some plus. When things are lumped together, for example, in individual donors, that, of course, can be broken down by running the campaigns that contributed to each of that individual donor. So we would be able to go in. I mean, if you're sending out a mailer, bottom line, it's still money that's coming in from an individual donor. But by using the reporting that's in Allegiance, we can then know that this set of income within the individual donors was connected to this specific campaign or this specific fund drive. But I think that when things have started getting kind of wonky is when we have people have been adding their own sort of line items in order to keep track of income that's coming in, when all of that income can be tracked with its own coded campaign, which is through Allegiance. But we also have individuals who aren't using Allegiance. So then if stuff is coming in and it's being coded a certain way, then we go back and we have to ask them, give me the details on this. And that's how it's going to also have to be implemented. We can't just get one lump sum of revenue, which is kind of what we're getting now of saying this is all listener support. And break it down. What is a BAI buddy? How many of these are sustainers? Or how many did this come from an event? Did this come from a mailer? You know, those kind of things. So we will be sending back the revenue, and we are questioning people now when they start sending things in to provide us with details and justification.
Can I have the stack, please?
You're not next, but that's Paul. You want to be on the stack?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to skip myself. I'm looking at the time, and I'd like to be merciful about when we end. So Susan and then Paul. And we may be out of
questions. So I'm not on the stack anymore. I have my chance to speak.
Thank you,
Susan.
Lyndon
was on the stack. Darlene,
who is speaking? Who is speaking and what are you saying?
This is Christina, and I believe Lyndon was on the stack, is what I was saying.
Lyndon, did I miss you on taking stack?
No, you did not.
Thank you, sir. So we are at Paul Rienzo, and we may have to draw to an end for this item. Go ahead, Paul.
Sure. Just a question, really. Would these changes facilitate, or is it more like to make it easier for the national office just to know what's coming in and where is it coming from? Or is it actually going to be turned around and used for something? I hate to use this term, added value to it in the sense of facilitating, keeping in touch with donors and making the distinction, applying for different types of, in contacting the different types of donors, you would make a distinction in how you would approach someone who's willing to give, $5,000 twice a year or something from somebody who does, $10 a month, but you want to approach all these folks, and I think we haven't been doing enough of that. And I was wondering if this is more about, is it how would we use this information from everybody doing this, and we would then have this clarified information? What would be the best use of that information, the new clarified data that we would get, the big data, I guess they call it nowadays? How would we use that?
It would give us a bigger picture of how Pacifica Foundation is doing as a whole. So we know, for example, this is how many individual donors we have. This is the number of sustainers that we have. Rather than some people putting individual donors as listener support, then maybe there's other individual donors listed as other income. Then we have individual donors listed as major donors. And if a major donor is 1,000 and over, is that a $1,000 one-time gift? Is that a $1,000 cumulative gift? If somebody is pledging and they go over that $1,000 mark, are they now moved from the individual donor to the major donor? And what's miscellaneous income? So it's very difficult from just an accounting standpoint when we're doing our audits to have to explain what all of these things are. Why do some people have premium sales and other people don't? There's so many unanswered questions when people are looking at our financials as a group. And, for example, any sort of grant funding and grant requests, I'm still kind of confused sometimes how some of the stations are requesting and applying for grants when I'm not even part of that process and I am not, you know, signing off on these papers for these grants. The budgets that go out with the grants are the national budget. So it should be going out because the money is coming to the 501c3 of Pacifica, even if it's going toward the station. But it gives us a better, a cleaner, bigger picture of how we're doing. And if we have, you know, 100,000 individual donors, how many of those have renewed? How many have been stewarded? How many are we reaching out to? How many can we talk to, just as you said, to say, you know, can you step it up another level? So it just gives us a cleaner, bigger picture of where we stand financially.
And just follow up, what's the resistance? Is there resistance to this, or is it just, you know, normal dysfunction?
Yeah, there is no resistance, actually, from the stations. There's no resistance whatsoever. I mean, a lot of them also want clarification as to what's what. And it's, you know, there's no resistance. It's just a matter of having a description as to what all of this means. You know, again, like, what is a major donor? Why do we have a major donor? And what is the benefit of being a major donor? So, you know, so it's those kind of things that people get confused, right, and they don't know where to code things. And so they're just randomly coding them places.
Right. I run into that problem myself in my own life all the time. I mean, what do you really code things as? And sometimes I change it from one year to the next in my own life. I'm not sure what I'm coding. So it's difficult, right? You have to update it every once in a while. It changes.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
You know, in our corporate
matches, thank you.
Soft crediting the corporate match to the individual that works, that's, you know, working at that company, or is it just being listed as a corporate match? And even with some donor advised funds that come in, I'll see something and it will say, you know, oh, well, we got $3,000 from Fidelity. No, we didn't get $3,000 from Fidelity. That's how you coded it, and you're calling it a grant. It's not a grant. It's a donor-advised funds, and there's people that are attached to that. And on the paperwork, it says, write a thank you note to blah, blah, blah. And the only reason that I've sort of seen a lot of this is because of the move at KPFK, is that the mail is now being forwarded, and I'm being able to get through a lot of it. And so, you know, there's been, you know, often mail that just kind of gets lost on somebody's desk without ever going through the details of what's there. So, you know, that's a perfect example that Fidelity money is not a grant. It's connected to a person, and that person needs to be thanked, and it needs to be a donor. It's not a grant.
Sure. I believe you. I totally agree. You don't have to. I think that's one of the big problems, and one of the things I ran on was doing more of that, because this obviously was a big weakness. Thanks a lot. I guess are you going to just I don't know if you can answer this question, but you're planning to just to do this. You're getting our input, but you're doing this, right?
Correct. But I want the
right
input
cool
of everybody right from the National Finance Committee, because you're the ones that, you know, do you use website income? If your station is relying on website income, for example, what is it? What is website income or premium sales? What's a premium sale? And how are you, what is that? And I'm not questioning it as what is that, you know, to in a bad way, but enlighten me. If that really is something that we need to, you know, and these aren't going away. They're just not going to be shown all the time on the spreadsheet. But if somebody really truly has premium sales and that means something, well, of course we're going to keep it on there. I just need to know who's using what, and that way we can keep it there.
Cool.
Thank you, Stephanie. I want to remind people, Stephanie comes to every NFC meeting, or she will be coming to every NFC meeting. So I think we'll all get a lot more familiar and comfortable with being able to, you know, get information out of her as much or even more than she wants to get answers from us. So this will keep happening. And it is not, it is 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And Stephanie, I'm going to, we're calling an end to this item on the agenda. And thank you very much for getting ready for this so quickly. Okay, folks, looking at the agenda, and as I said, trying to answer calls for mercy, I am going to put say that for the rest of the agenda, we have Kim Kalfman's motion, and we have the question of the NFC using Zoom, and that will be the rest of our agenda for this evening. So what am I trying to say? Okay, get it. Well, if you have to get out a new sheet of paper after all the notes you've been taking with Stephanie, I know I have, and we will now go to Kim Kalfman. Give us your motion, Kim. I know you sent it out. If people can pull that up, Kim sent that out this morning, Kim?
Yes, this morning.
Okay. Pull that up, and Kim, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to skip the whereas, which is just a relaying of Robert's rules. The motion is the NFC minutes shall follow Robert's rules of order and consist only of the record of what was done and not what was said at the meeting, i.e. attendance and motions. Also, that the names of those voting on each side of the motion be recorded along with the totals. Actually, I forgot to include or say that because all votes are roll call votes, the names of those voting on each side of the motion should be recorded along with the totals. And, I mean, the motivation is I think we should not, I mean, it's why I voted no on the last bunch of minutes is because I do not want to, because there are long essays in each set of minutes. And I know our Paul does a very conscientious job. There have been mistakes, and it was very difficult to correct those mistakes. And they're very subjective. And our Paul also makes a treasurer's report, which he does do a long, detailed essay. And he's perfectly, you know, welcome to put this stuff in that treasurer's report. But minutes are legal documents, and they should just have motions and votes and, you know, whatever else, other protocols are required. That's it.
Madam Chair, on the stack, Susan.
Our Paul. You're
first. Stack, Susan, go ahead. Our Paul, you're next.
Yeah, I actually sent a note to our Paul and to the NFC that the sort of the
tradition of minutes that Kim has described is the one with which I feel more comfortable. I think that the work that R. Paul does is extraordinary. We are so fortunate to have you, R. Paul, as our secretary. But I can vote, and the reason why I've been abstaining is I can vote to approve what the actions were that were taken. I cannot vote to approve a summary of discussion. However useful that may be, that is not a part of the record that I feel I can vote about without listening to the recording and I think that that instance, it needs to be a verbatim transcript rather than a summary of what people said. So I will be supporting Kim's motion.
R. Paul, you're on the stack.
Okay. Let me just say, since there was something added at the end, I'm going to need to go over the wording of this particular motion. It's on the floor right now. But first,
R. Paul,
yes.
I'm writing it out and going to send it right away. So that's
okay.
Done.
So the way the minutes are is something that has evolved over the past 16 years or 15 years and 11 months. And so this is what the committee has said to do. Now, specifically, like putting names, showing the roll call vote, showing the actual roll call, that was specifically voted down years ago for whatever reason. I was agnostic about it then, and, you know, people said, no, just say what the totals are. A lot of the other stuff is either the subject of a motion that was made, or we discussed it and the committee said, yeah, do it this way, do it that way. And so it's not a thing of it's simply me. It's a thing of the committees, plural maybe, if you want to put it that way, have voted to have the minutes pretty much the way they are. And, I could live with this, but the thing is, we do need to understand that the committee has done it. I will also add that since the committee has voted to do this in the past, if we want to change it, yeah, you're kind of going to need a two-thirds vote, which you might just get. Who knows? But the thing is, we can probably do this and live with it, and, you know, maybe people will even tweak it later on at some point and we'll go through the stuff we went through years ago all over again and see how that works. I'm looking. Let me see if I've gotten Kim's written bit yet. And scroll down here and... Okay. So I'm only doing the therefore. Therefore, the okay. All right. So I think let me plug that in just to make sure we all want these to be right. Okay. The motion I have is the NFC minutes shall follow Robert's Rules of Order and consist. Okay. 12th edition. Can we add 12th edition in there? Because that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And consist only of the record of what was done and not what was said at the meeting. That is, i.e., attendance and motions. And I guess we're cutting out the C-48-5. We're cutting that out, right?
No.
Leave that in
no,
or cut it
not.
Out. What do you want to do?
Leave it in. I mentioned nothing
okay, it's
about
there.
Cutting out Robert's rule.
Okay,
and
also,
12th edition
because...
is in there. 12th edition is in there, in the first line.
But you said you were cutting out the preamble.
No, I just said that I didn't want to read the Robert's rules relating
gosh,
to
okay.
it. And I can do that if y'all want me to go through it. But I just said I would just read the motion, not all the whereases, which cites the Robert's rules that I think we should be following.
Well, since it's part of the motion, you ought to have. But here we go. Okay, so I've copied the whole entire thing at this point in time. Let me just get it in here. Okay, so the motion as we have it now is, whereas Robert's Rules of Order 12th edition says 48.1, the official record of the proceedings of a deliberative assembly is, this is not a deliberative assembly, by the way, this is a committee. It's usually called the minutes. The contents of the minutes in an ordinary society, that's a title. In an ordinary society, the minutes should contain mainly a record of what was done at the meeting, not what was said by the members. The minutes must never reflect the secretary's opinion, favorable or otherwise, on anything said or done. I certainly try to adhere to that. 48.3, to modify the rules governing what is regularly to be included in the minutes requires adoption of a special rule of order, although a majority vote may direct the inclusion of specific additional information in the minutes of a particular meeting. Additional 48.5, additional rules and practices related to the contents are the following. C, when the voting is by roll call, the names of those voting on each side and those answering present, as well as the total number in each category, are entered. If members who are present fail to respond on a roll call vote, enough of their names must be recorded as present to reflect that a quorum was present at the time of the vote. If the chair voted, no special mention of this fact is made in the minutes. Therefore, the NFC minutes shall follow Robert's Rules of Order and consist only of the record of what was done and not was said at the meeting, i.e., attendance and motions, open paren, C48:5, for further protocols to include, end paren. Also, because all the votes on the NFC are roll call votes, the names of those voting on each side of the motion are recorded along with the totals, unquote. There's more than one thing there. I mean, on all sides. How about on all sides of the motion? Because you can abstain. If you want to leave it at each, we'll live, I guess, but I should think on all sides. What do you want?
That's fine. On all sides.
All sides, okay. All sides. Okay. All right, that's the motion. There it is, and we have it. And, I won't roll up and die from it. We can try this out. We'll see what happens. And we'll see if people think there's interpretation going on. Anyway, I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, R. Paul. We have a motion on the floor to, I'm going to shorten the explanation, that we take our minutes at our meetings according to Robert's Rules of Order 12th edition for recording minutes. Now, having said that,
Madam Chair, point of
go
order.
Ahead. Point of order, Susan. Okay.
Yeah. The secretary said that it requires a 2/3 vote. I question that it does.
I believe he said to overrule old votes for changing the minutes. The minutes taking in different ways, we could go and clean it up, but it would take a 2/3 vote to clean up any and all former votes that we found.
This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Not quite.
No, I don't think that's what he said. I think he said it required a 2/3 vote to change this practice.
Yes, okay. That's what I said, because we've adopted this other stuff before.
All right.
This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Yes, Kim.
R. Paul is correct, if he's correct. I have no knowledge of any of these previous motions he says exist. If, in fact, they exist, then he is correct that this would be a motion to rescind or amend something previously adopted. And since I didn't notice it at the previous meeting, yes, it'll need a two-thirds vote. Having said that, I would like to add a sentence at the end of the motion saying this motion supersedes all previous motions on this subject.
Our Paul,
I second that amendment.
Okay, I can't understand who's talking. Please say your name when you speak.
Susan so, Young seconds Kim's amendment.
Our Paul for stack.
Okay, wait a minute. We have a motion on the floor, and it has been seconded.
And it's an amendment. And it doesn't need a second in the committee.
Okay, it doesn't need a second in the committee. All right. So, I'm sorry, R. Paul, in terms of Robert's Rules of Order, is there any problem with having added that last sentence? We don't have to treat it as a separate procedure.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's completely superfluous. If the motion passes, of course it supersedes all previous motions. It touches
right.
on subjects done before, so it would. Quite frankly, I suspect that it will get 6 votes. You know what I mean?
Yes, I'm
I don't think there's a big
there,
fight about
but...
how this is going to work out in the end.
I'm trying to get there. I am, really. Okay. All right. We have a motion on the floor. It has an added sentence, which may or may not be necessary, but it's there Therefore, I'm going to call the question, which is, shall the minutes for the PNB from this meeting on be taken according to the template, I'm going to call it a template, the process, the procedure, as appears in Robert's Rules of Order, 12th edition. We're going to vote.
Okay,
can
I say you've got an amendment here? The amendment is, quote, this motion supersedes all previous motions on this subject.
I asked you if that was going to be something separate that we had to deal with.
Yes.
I asked you that.
I said it was an amendment. So, of course it is.
Can the chair please ask if there are any objections to that additional sentence?
Well, I object, but if nobody else does, go ahead.
All right. Having no other objections, take our minutes by Robert's Rules of Order stipulations. Do we have any objections to that motion?
To the motion as just amended. Is that what you're asking for the whole motion?
Okay. To the motion as amended.
Okay.
Hearing no objection, this motion passes. And, R. Paul, do you need me to state by the 9 attendees at this meeting?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Thank you. So the motion passes. Now, to get us out of here before 10:30 Eastern Time, we have one final for tonight, one final question that we can handle on this agenda. And that question is, shall our next meeting and all those thereafter be on Zoom, or are people, adamant about Maestro?
Madam Chair, Susan Young.
Is there a motion here?
Zoom. Madam Chair, Susan Young.
Yes.
I move that we hold the next and future meetings by Zoom.
Madam Chair, this is Minerva Sanders. I second that motion.
Thank you, Minerva. Thank you, Susan.
Does anyone want to speak against this motion?
Well,
go ahead, Arnold.
If they want to speak for or against. Okay. Yeah, a couple of things. One, Pacifica already has Maestro, and why do we need to go to Zoom? The idea that we're gonna all have these great things we can see, I don't know that really is a good idea. Zoom compromises privacy and security. How do they make their money? Well, several ways, one of which is by scraping your data. What we're doing right here is going through Maestro, which we pay for and which is, as far as I know, not selling the data. If we start going to Zoom, we're going to have a problem with all of the data we produce at this meeting, including executive sessions. It's all going to go to Zoom. Zoom isn't going to say, oh, it's executive session, we can't scrape that. No, they'll scrape it. And we'll be, people will post documents and that's all going in. Oh, boy. Plus, some of us really don't want to be on Zoom at all because it is so dangerous to go there and have anything and keep anything anymore. I don't have a camera. So I ain't going to be able to show up on things. I'll be calling out on a phone anyway. So how's that going to affect things? I'm not going to be able to see stuff if somebody's holding it up on the screen. Somebody's going to have to read it. Plus, a lot of people are going to listen in anyway, and the meeting will be more open if it's done so that people can listen than if people can't listen. So I would vote against this. I don't think it's a good idea for security reasons and other reasons. And so there we go. We'll see what happens.
All right. I know that the Pacifica does have Zoom. We can double check with our engineers as to any drawbacks in terms of what we screen share on Zoom. And I'll be happy to check in on that. Are there any, let's see, that was the con side. Is there anyone who wants to speak to the pro side?
Madam Chair, Susan?
Yes.
I would like to speak to the information side. I know that Otis, who is not on this call and who was not available tonight, is someone who strongly prefers Maestro. I'm not fully, I don't know if it's the reasons that our Paul brought up. Otis also helps us go on Zoom in more than one framework. So I do not fully understand all the advantages, disadvantages, and risks. I know we're on many more Zoom meetings for PNB, LSB, and for various committees. So I find it to be more user-friendly, and we can share documents. We just went through this evening a lot of time sorting out sharing documents, and I think it would be useful to go forward with that. But anyway, I guess I'm adding to the confusion, not adding clarity.
All right.
This is Kim.
Pro. Go ahead.
This
well,
is Kim.
Are you pro or con? Kim.
Con.
Well,
okay, I'm just giving my experience, and I personally don't care. But to me, screen sharing is annoying because I often look through documents quicker than any screen sharing. And, I mean, I don't really need to see everybody's face on Zoom. And for me, it's the screen sharing is a hindrance, not helpful. That's just my experience. But I don't care. Because I can look at the documents anyways, even if they're on Zoom. But that's
Stack.
Who is that, please?
Stack, Paul.
Okay. Are you speaking pro or con?
I'm just saying that if Kim Kaufman and R. Paul Martin actually just agreed on something, I must be on their side, and I say stay with Maestro. I personally don't think it really matters much because these things are like fashions and they change with the times. They change like we change our socks. So we'll go with what we go now, and then maybe leave it open that other opportunities of better softwares and better different ways of doing it will be developed probably pretty soon. So just stay with the status quo for now.
Okay.
Christina for the
go ahead, Christina, speaking pro or con.
Yeah.
Pro. We need one more pro, by the way, to finish this.
I am pro.
Okay, go ahead.
So I think that it actually is handy to be able to screen share. I think it's much easier if we're looking at budgets and everything, if the person can point out, like if Stephanie could have tonight showed us exactly where on the screen she was referencing and everything. I think that there's a lot of companies, and we've been doing Zoom for our LSB for years now, and it works very well. So I think it's, you know, 21st century technology that works quite well, and I'm not sure about the concerns about the security thing. We haven't had a problem with that with our board. So I would think that there's nothing against it. If someone doesn't want to show themselves, they don't have to show themselves, even if they have a camera. There are people on Zoom meetings that don't ever activate the camera. So it's not an obligatory thing to show yourself if, you know, you don't want to see our faces, which we could be really hurt by that. But anyway, I just don't see the downside to it. And I think it works quite well. So thank you.
All right. And I will say to those who spoke con on security issues, I will definitely have a talk training from Otis on this if it goes through. All right. We have had two pro, two con, at least, on this question. So let's vote, which is, shall we start conducting our meetings on Zoom?
Well, what I have is, I think the motion is to have all future NFC meetings on Zoom, right?
Yes, that'll do.
Okay.
Correct. That's the motion I made.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo.
Zoom, no. We'll stay. Let's stay with Maestro for now.
Lyndon Foley.
Pass.
Kamau Harris.
Pass.
Christina Huggins.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman. Abstain. R. Paul Martin. No. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Myla Reason. Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
Susan Young.
Yeah.
Okay, going back. Lyndon Foley.
No.
Kamau Harris.
No.
Okay, 4-4, 4 against, 1 abstention.
Then it fails.
Yep.
All right. That option fails. And I am going to say we have reached our time certain. One more minute. And so this session of the NFC is coming to an end. All items not yet addressed will carry forward. So,
motion to adjourn. This is Susan.
Any objection to adjourning at 10:29 Eastern?
if you have a time certain ending, I don't think you have to have a motion to adjourn, but go ahead.
There is no objection to ending this meeting. And so this meeting has ended.